Welcome to another episode of the 44 Soccer Podcast. Soccer podcast for us, by us. Talking about intersection of Black culture and soccer. It's been a long time. I shouldn't have left you without a dope beat to step to. Yes, Man Greco is back. It's been a few weeks since we've laid anything on you. It seems like the last thing that we did have for y'all was talking about Messi. And guess what? We're still talking about fucking Messi. And to join us this week is our Messi insider, the king of Cali himself, Cali Arrudia. How you feeling, man?
I'm doing all right, man. All things considered, and I'm sure we'll get into all of it. I'm doing all right. You know, hurt by this club, hurt by everything going on, and it sounds like Messi's hurt himself. So,
yeah. Everybody's hurt right now in South Florida, and it's you know, it's something where I don't want to say I told you so, but at the same time, kind of did. And we'll get up into that in a very quick bit. Of course, again, it's been a minute since we laid one episode on you guys. We're all still alive. Just life got life before a quick bit, and we're back on the road again with you guys. Thank you guys for joining us. Podcast apps: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor. Stitcher's dead now.
RIP, so Stitcher.
Don't listen to us. Don't listen to us on there. But all the other ones, you got us. And also on the FTC U2D YouTube channel, all that good stuff. I think the last time we actually did an episode, I think it's actually with y'all on Dreaming of Freedom. It's been that much of a minute since we've laid anything down for you guys. But we are back, and the past few weeks, of course, you know, games have been going on. Life's been life, and there was just too much going on. I needed to lay something down, because of course, like you said, it seemed like everybody right now in South Florida is hurting. All the goodwill, all the hoopla, I think the only person who got more celebrities at their games was Coach Prime. It was getting that big for y'all down there.
Yeah.
But now, it looks like Messi is about to say, "Hey, no mas for 2023. Like, y'all rode him as long as y'all could."
Yeah, man. It's it's been an interesting time down here, to say the least. But a lot of celebrities showing up. I mean, just off the top of the dome, we had Kim Kardashian, we had LeBron, we had Rick Ross, James Harden was at the game the other night, the U.S. Open Cup final. You know, Usain Bolt was there. It's a laundry list of celebrities, several Miami Heat players, Miami Dolphin players, Tyreek Hill, the whole gang. They're all coming to see one guy and one guy only, and that seems to be the reason why a lot of people are showing up to games and kind of pushing out support and the real supporters a little bit. But we found out yesterday through sources within the club, very reliable sources within the club, don't let the media tell you different, that Messi has a two centimeter tear in his hamstring that he aggravated the injury playing for Argentina in the World Cup qualifiers. Tried to thug it out for Toronto FC, where it was finally completely torn. And the media's been locked out of training sessions. No, obviously the club has the vice grips on access to Messi and interviews and stuff. So, but we finally got some confirmation from about as reliable a source within the club as we can probably ask for in terms of injuries. Club is doing damage control. It's made its way out, and I'm sure if you're following MLS on Twitter, you've seen the you've seen it, floating out there. But yeah, don't let the club, don't let MLS tell you different. It's definitely a tear, likely done for the year. I know if we make the playoffs, I don't know if the club tries to push him to play or if he tries to push to play, but
I can't imagine
if it's a tear. I cannot imagine that he plays not just the rest of this year. Probably beginning of next year too, but
I mean, hamstrings are real tricky. Like we're actually seeing it right now with a couple of our U.S. national team players, like with Tyler Adams. Like once you start having hamstring issues, like it seems like it just never quite gets right. Like hopefully you run into a stretch where everything kind of holds at least for a couple months, and then like you might have to, you know, kind of reassess and kind of sit back for a bit and just be like, hey, are we still good? Because like even like Gio Reyna, like he's constantly had hamstring issues at Borussia Dortmund. And of course at Messi's age, you know, you're talking about a 36-year-old who, you know, he's played a lot of games. He's got a lot of shit ton of miles on him between both Barcelona, PSG, and our Argentina national team. And it's something where like you were already kind of dealing with him with kid gloves anyway, because of course a month ago you had the game here in Atlanta, and just all the speculation going into that game, because of course everybody's like, he's not gonna play on turf, he's on, and he tried to downplay it himself like a few weeks beforehand, said, hey, I used to train on turf, it's no big deal, yada yada. But I definitely thought that I think it was Ecuador,
yeah,
when he played last played with Argentina, and they pulled him out, I think in the 65th minute, something like that, and they tried to say like they arrested him for the Bolivia game. And of course, the information that we had at the time was that they were arresting him in time for him to play against Atlanta. And like I think the news came like the day before, within less than 24 hours before the game, he was like, yeah, he's still in Miami. He's actually at his kid's academy game. And you know, I gotta say something about this fashion taste. Like the rolled up jean shorts, like that's a choice, man. That's a choice.
Messi's been in Miami a month, and he's fully embraced a dress code down here. my dude straight up dresses like he grew up in West Kendall. You know, he's he's one of us now, man. It's official.
I mean, you know, more proud to like this is the type of life that you dream of at some point in your life, where you're like, hey, all I want to do is just, you know, go outside, you know, see my kid play, you know, drink my mate, and yeah, like we're good. But obviously for the league's interest and even, you know, obviously with Inter Miami's interest, not having him at any future games this season, that's a big dent. Of course, we just saw this this past week with Miami going down in the U.S. Open Cup final to Houston. You know, like without Messi, we went from the glass slipper back to the wooden shoe.
Yeah, we were. I mean, Messi was definitely missed against Houston. Granted, and I do not want to take anything away from Houston. Houston played a really good game. They showed up. Houston's had a solid season. You know, they earned it. They showed up. They played well, but we also happened to play poorly. And people forget, without Messi, without Busquets, without Alba, this is Phil Neville's Inter Miami team. You know, this is a team that was that was last place in the East, and.
Yeah.
That showed. That very, very much showed. And some of the other signings we brought in have been good, like Aviles and Farias and stuff like that. But those are kids, you know, the 19 and a 22-year-old. It's tough to replace that experience. And you have to wonder that the club was very intentional about keeping Messi's injuries under wraps to continue to,
oh, yeah,
to justify the ticket prices and you know, all that. So
it makes you wonder, like, if they were getting a cut out of the resales, because of course Ticketmaster they will eat up some fees in these tickets and everything. But at the same time, you're talking about like you're exploiting everyone's interest in Messi because of that you know that, hey, everybody's going to go out the way. They weren't going out of the way to see Robert Taylor. They weren't going out of the way to see DeAndre Yedlin. Like, even our boy Joseph, like, they weren't going out of the way to see him. And, like, it was specifically for Messi. And it's like, the longer that you would hold out and be like, okay, yeah, he might play, he might not play, you know, that keeps the market an interest in buying tickets, you know, at a real premium. Like, even like for me, like, I ended up not being able to go because my grandma had a birthday dinner, you know, shout out to grandma, 84. And but at the same time, like, it's funny because, like, I was dropping off an order to my homie Bradley that Friday night. As soon as I got in my truck, I got an email notification that my ticket was sold. And, like, I don't even want to say, like, an hour later is when the news came out that he was still in Miami. He didn't make the flight. And, of course, and even then they were like, hey, you know, he might still, you know, get on a last minute plane Saturday morning. But then, of course, you saw the pictures of him at his kid's game. It's like, this dude's chilling. Yeah. He ain't going nowhere. but yeah, I'm like, this is what happens when you get caught up in just that, in that hoopla, and you want to, you know, milk it for everything that you have. And of course, you know, now that he's likely not playing anymore this season, because, like, they still haven't officially announced it. But of course, like you said, like, you know, trust this man when he says that, hey, if it's something regarding Messi, it's more than likely testament and sacred. So if he's down, he's definitely down.
Yeah, it's I mean, and to be fair, I mean, I guess it's not to be fair. It was just how the club has always operated. They've always been very, very quiet about injuries. That's always been a big grievance of supporters towards the club, that they never want to disclose the severity of injuries. We're usually finding out, again, like, they can keep things under wraps as much as they want, but leaks are going to leak. And you know, as well connected as some of us within my circle are to the club, you know, we're gonna find out. Yeah, I'm very interested to see how the club operates moving forward in terms of how they talk about Messi. But even yesterday, during an interview, someone, you know, one of the tweets from my boy Caden in the network went pretty viral. And they asked him about it, and he said, and he just danced around the question completely. Said, "Oh, what if the reporter's wrong?" You know, and so they're ducking right now. But eventually, people are going to start banging the table and asking, like, "Why should I spend $250 to be in the supporter section to watch, you know, Robbie Robinson run out there?"
I mean, and that's a legitimate question. I think that, you know, like, again, like, you're spending this money to see one specific player. It's not Drake Callender. Just not. Yeah. And, you know, and I love Drake Callender. I've become a big fan of his, but he's not that guy. But I think that, and especially given what's come out in the past, two, three days now, it's one of those things where you're truly trying to gouge out the existing fans, and probably trying to create a new subset of fans that, you know, without Messi there, it's like, it's hard to justify spending that kind of money. And I think this is the first sign of where we're probably in this next phase of Inter Miami, where the type of community that you're trying to build is more upscale, it's more upper class, it's more chic. And again, like, that might work for some people, but at the same time, and I've said this for quite some time, you know, both in my personal socials and on the FTC socials, like, you're just going to see a dynamic be created where the opportunity will be there for there to be two Miami teams. One that's, you know, the team that of the rich and the rich and fabulous. And then you have the team that's, you know, more for the people, that's not going to try to take care of this community and try to take care of, you know, it's not going to bleed you dry for season tickets like Inter Miami is about to do. And for those of y'all that don't know, like, Inter Miami plays out in Fort Lauderdale. Is it Broward County?
Broward County, yeah.
So if you live in pretty much in the heart of Miami, you got to travel a smooth hour just to get to these games.
Easy hour.
You mean to tell me that you're going to be spending north of $800 for a season ticket to go an hour away? Duh, what?
Yeah, and to add to context to those of you that maybe aren't following everything with the club, the club released the season ticket renewal price. So this isn't what new season ticket holders are going to have to pay. It's going to be what existing season ticket holders are going to have to pay. And on the low end, you're seeing a 100% increase.
Jesus.
So, for example, my season ticket is in the supporter section. I just have my one ticket. But it's a group of us that always go. My ticket for the past three seasons has been, I have never paid more. This past season, for this year, I paid the most, and I paid $414 for the entire season, and that includes two cup game tickets, a bunch of events, you know, super close access to players in the club and stuff like that, open trainings. We got tickets to the Barcelona training when they came down here, you know, the whole nine. Mm-hmm. And to the Barcelona friendly also, like everything. So my ticket went from $414 to $894. And when I tell you, I sent the quickest email of my life to my rep saying, yo, cancel my shit right now. Because the email basically said, if you don't respond, you're automatically re-enrolled. But if you don't, you have to reach out to your rep and they'll work it out with you. So I sent my rep an email. It's Sunday now. I want to say this came out on Wednesday. And as soon as I saw that email, I'm like, yeah, no, I'm out. And
you want to know how insane that was? Like, the news of Cali canceling his season ticket got to my other soccer circles that aren't even with Florida culture. I was like, yo, like, Liverpool supporter, he canceled tickets. I was like, hang on a second. Let's like, I think I might know this guy. It's like, oh shit, talk about the same dude. And like, this is the type of thing that like, it reverberates that much, because the I think the story was like, one guy was paying like $6,000, and like his increase took him to like $30,000.
Yeah,
like,
that was what's bad for the club is that's Mike Ryan Ruiz, who's a huge, huge media personality down here. He's been with the Levitard show for, I don't know, 20 years now, maybe not that long, probably a solid 15, because he's like 2 years older than I am. But his tickets, and he sat in the West End, nothing crazy, but I think he had four tickets. It came out to around $6,000, which sounds about right, you know. His tickets jumped up to $30,000. I have a very good friend of mine that he had three seats in the first row, you know, probably closer on the Miami bench side, but closer towards the end of the pitch. Three tickets. He was originally paying $5,000 for those three seats, and they jumped up to $18,000. And he had to give some of them up. He's like, I can't pay this. Like, I can't justify this.
Y'all ain't that good, dog.
Yeah, man. And it's caused a lot of reaction. And if you really want to hear like me going on those thoughts, you know, shameless plug here. Our last episode of Dreaming of Freedom came out on Freedom to Dream. Sorry, Dreaming of Freedom. I'm losing it. Sunday.
One of them.
Yeah, it's Dreaming of Freedom. Dreaming of Freedom. The episode came out on Friday. In the first 10-15 minutes or so, you hear me go into my monologue there. But it's an insult to supporters, man. That we've been there, you know, from day one. you know, and I remember like the North Stand, like the edges would be empty and all 150 of us were packed into one or two sections to just kind of create that vibe and culture. And we were always told like, oh, we'll take care of the day ones. We'll take care of the people who are already season ticket holders. Like, and I was expecting an increase. I'm not dumb. It's messy. I get it. So I was expecting probably a 20 to 30% increase. And I felt like that was fair. But then they came at me with 100% increase, and that's on the low end, man. Like there's some, I mean, there are currently, if you go on InterMiami's website right now and you look at the renewal price, there is a $45,000 season ticket. There's a $45,000 season ticket for InterMiami right now. All right. Yeah.
Like I said, like, reminder for y'all, if you live in Miami, the team right now still plays in Fort Lauderdale. We're not even talking about, you know, prices when they actually get to the new stadium at Freedom Park. We're not even there yet.
Yep.
Like, we're still like a good 2 years away from that.
Yeah.
You're talking about you're paying that just to get out to Broward County to Pompano. You're talking about no. Like if you've been down that way before, like, imagine going from Miami to Hard Rock, Joe Robbie, and then realize, no, it's even further than that.
Yeah, it's still 45 minutes north of Joe Robbie.
Like it takes a real commitment to make that drive. Like, that takes love for the team that you support, the club that you support, you know, to go out that far and keep doing it every week. Like, it's different, like, when I always make this comparison, like, when it's easier for people to go into the city for a game, because more than likely you'll find other reasons to go into the city for games and things like that. It's another thing, like, when you got to go all the way out to the suburbs and you're like, you're way out in the cut. And it'd be like, for us, I live in College Park by the airport, and if Atlanta United were playing full time out in Kennesaw. Like, it might be good for TK. It might be good for a couple other of our homies, L and everything. Like, but for me, I'm like, oh, dog. Like, you might be lucky if I get out there once a month. Maybe. It might be more like once every other month. But, and if that.
Yeah.
And that's something that, again, like, you're talking about, like, committing a full season to. Like, you're making that trip, like, what, 18 times a year?
Yep. Yeah, if you go to every home game, that's 17 games, plus the, at least for this season, two Cub games that you were given to. Then, you know, the team.
League's Cup.
Yeah. And then you're given, you know, you're giving, and this is just if you're going based off of what you're given with your season ticket. You know, you have the 17 home games, you have two Cup game tickets, you have, you know, a couple friendlies, you have the, you know, access to a couple open trainings, autograph events, you know, parties, like certain, like, season ticket holder parties, things like that. But it's a hike, man. The stadium's really out west. It's in Pompano Beach. It's like basically on the edge of the Everglades. It's really far out there, man. And it's an absolute hike. And obviously in Miami, it's a little easier to get around. I mean, we have terrible public transportation, but there's still public transportation that drops you off at the stadium, where Miami Freedom Park would be. But yeah, man, with these, I know a lot of people that are diehards that have been going to these games that aren't renewing because they can't afford it. So I think for next year, for 2025 or 2024, which is going to be presumably the last season in Drive Pink before we move to Miami Freedom Park, where they just broke ground on building a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to see a very different dynamic in the supporter section throughout the stands. It's going to be much more corporatized. And I think the best comparison is going to be to Miami Heat. You know, that you're going to see the beginning of the game is going to happen. Place is going to be half empty, you know, and then you're going to see a bunch of suits in the west stand. You're going to see a couple people in the north stand. And it's not going to have that same kind of Miami Barra type of, like, Latin culture that it's had. It's going to be very corporatized. It's going to be very stiff. It's not, you know, and it's because they're not catering to supporters of the club anymore. They're catering to wealthy people who want to attend an event.
The money.
Yeah. So,
I mean, it's really unfortunate because, again, like for guys like you, like that have been there since day one, like y'all have seen all the downs and missteps the first few years of Inter Miami, and probably even going before that when because like it took a smooth 6-7 years before from the time it got announced to when it finally had your first game. Yeah. So you're talking about like people who have committed probably a solid 10 years to, you know, the culture in for Inter Miami, and for this to kind of, you know, come down like this, and like that's fucked up. It just is. And I actually, if they're charging this much for people to go out to Fort Lauderdale, I would absolutely shriek at the thought of how much you're going to be charging once they get to freaking Park.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's going to push out a lot of people. All I can say is Miami FC, we know you're still out there. We know you're still a thing. You need to get all your pennies and dimes together and reach out to every lapsed Inter Miami fan that comes across, you know, these next couple of years and be like, hey, we have a home for you.
We might not
be able to get Messi, but hey, we can get Cleophas Jones to come play it, and he'll be from the neighborhood. He'll be from that way. He went to Miami-Dade Community College. He's like, hey, I'm still good. So fuck with
me. Yeah.
Like Miami FC, like this is your absolute moment to make a dent. And like I said, I've said this for a long time. For those of y'all that know Miami and know all the different fractions and cultures around Miami, like this city is destined to have more than one big team. And, you know, hopefully, you know, the opportunity will be there to where Miami FC or maybe somebody else, you know, takes advantage of that. Because, again, like, I've always questioned the idea that there would be one team for all of Miami. And we've seen in the past already, like, how Inter Miami, you know, operates as far as how it has worked with, or the lack of work that they've done with y'all, with Black Herons, and just every time February comes around, they seem to be real quiet when it comes to acknowledging Black History Month. And it's one of those things where, like, I think it's inevitable. And there's so many players who actually come through to Miami. It's like, it'll probably happen anyway. So to where, like, you can't have 10 DPs at one team. So to be like, hey, we need another team to handle the demand of all these DPs that want to come to Miami. So
yeah. And
to be continued.
Yeah. And I remember I think one of my first times that I was on FTC, you mentioned that, and I'm pretty sure I laughed at you. But now with the way things are playing out, and honestly, the anchor of the fan base, I mean, I can definitely see an avenue where that happens.
This is how Everton and Liverpool became a thing. Like people got pissed off, say, hey, I'm a fuck around it and create my own club. Of course, right now, if you're Everton right now, sucks to be you right now. But this is how it all happens. Like you get the gumption, like, hey, we need to do our own thing, and do things our own way, and that's how it goes down. I'll tell you this though, yeah, because you have to understand something with me. I'm the person who, for about a smooth 10 years, got ridiculed for saying that Canada should have their own league. Everybody kept saying that it would never happen. What ended up happening? The Canadian League. I'm trying to tell you, like, you need to listen to me more, man. I be knowing. I just be knowing.
Yeah. And it's Miami FC has an interesting opportunity here because, and you know, there's going to be a lot of displaced Inter Miami fans that now find themselves without a home, but crave live football, you know, and crave competitive football. And the issue with Miami FC is that on the positive, they are very centrally located. They play out of FIU, which is in the heart of Southwest Miami-Dade. Easy access, easy to get to, plenty of parking, nice stadium. It's a college football stadium. It's plenty of seats around, but they don't market themselves. You know, like, and me as someone who has their finger on the pulse of soccer and, you know, Florida sports in general, I often forget that they exist because they don't market themselves. They don't put themselves out there. I often forget that they exist because they don't show up. But the guy I mentioned earlier, Mike Brian Ruiz, that tweet that we talked about, how his tickets went from 6,000 to 30,000. I actually just pulled up Miami FC's Twitter and they quote tweeted his, saying, "Make sure to lock in your season memberships at family friendly prices for football on the 305 before our last home game of the season." So, I mean, it looks like they're starting to jump on it a little bit, but they, you know, there's definitely an avenue where Miami FC can definitely acquire a you know, solid amount of fans, because one, people don't want to drive from Miami-Dade County, especially Southwest Miami-Dade County, all the way up to Pompano for an exorbitant price, and on top of that, to have to pay for parking and the whole song and dance, and you know, they can potentially have a pretty decent squad. I don't know how their seasons look, but again, that's because they don't advertise, and I don't have my finger on the pulse of USL soccer like a lot of people do. But but yeah, I mean, Inter Miami is definitely going to dig themselves in a hole, and it's going to be a very interesting case study to see how this club justifies those prices after Messi leaves, because if they can't snag a superstar that matches that caliber, and again, Messi's probably the only soccer player in the world that has that type of polarity and gravitational pull that everyone just kind of loves him. You know, he's not a polarizing figure like Ronaldo or Neymar or something like that, that you'll find just as many people who hate him as love him. You know, Messi is pretty universally beloved. And if they can't get someone like that to come and fill that void, it's going to be very interesting to see how the Messi money goes, because if a lot of these people are just going to see Messi, once Messi's gone, they have no reason to stay. So yeah, maybe they acquire a small percentage of those fans to stick around, and they fall in love with the club or whatever, and they have a couple more season ticket holders that way. But this could potentially backfire in a pretty catastrophic way if Inter Miami doesn't play correctly.
Yeah, I definitely agree, and yeah, this will definitely be something to keep an eye on. But not to anger you
anymore,
we're gonna change paces and go across the water over to England. And like I said, this just hasn't been your weekend, man. Just
no, sir.
Like, because between the Inter Miami news and then just this Spurs Liverpool game, like, oh, like, can you catch a break?
Apparently not, man. Apparently that's not in the cards for me on this weekend. And it's funny because last weekend, and I put out a tweet because on Sunday of last week, Inter Miami won. What's it called? Inter Miami won. Liverpool won. The Marlins won. The Dolphins won. And yeah, I said I said, surely this next week's going to be terrible.
Oh,
and goddamn if that wasn't the truth. I don't think I've ever been, like, I'm still mad about that. I'm still mad about the Liverpool Spurs match. I'm still,
yo, every Liverpool fan that I know is just, I mean, hot. It doesn't even conjure up the right sense here, because like I've had people in our culture chats, I mean, like, everywhere, it's just been like, this ref is absolutely full of shit, it makes no, like, he should be suspended, he should be banned, like, all of this. Because mind you, like, so for those of y'all that don't know, again, Spurs played Liverpool Saturday, they had the 12:30 game, and you basically had two Liverpool players sent off. You had a goal by Luis Diaz get called back, and that one was so bad that the the Ref Association, the PGMOL, I didn't know that was even the acronym for them, but they said, yeah, this was a significant human error. Not even just like, nah, it was like, no, it's like, hey, y'all fucked up. And like, cause like, I say this, like, when I saw the replay initially, I thought it was off. But then, it, like, I guess I had the wrong snap, and I didn't see the Spurs defender's legs stick out. It's like, oh, that's clearly on. Like, it's not even close.
Yeah,
and it's one of those things where, like, you had that, you had the Curtis Jones gets it off. Now, I'll say for that one kind of it's unlucky. But that was a red.
Yeah, I said in the chat too. Like, I can live with the Curtis Jones red because although it wasn't like egregious or intentional, the rule is the rule, right? He went studs up into the ankle. Like, I hate it. It sucks. But even as I was watching it, like I was talking with in my Liverpool chat, I'm like, yeah, it sucks, but that's the right call. Like, technically, it's the right call. So I can't get too mad. You know, again, it sucks because his foot went over the ball. And then into Bissouma's ankle, and it was like, fuck, okay, like that sucks, but it's the right call. And then even Jota's, like, the first yellow was soft, a soft, soft yellow.
I think the second one was soft. I feel like that one should have been at least a foul. And if it's one of those where it's like, it's two things. One, it's soft, but at the same time, it's still reckless to where. Why would you make that tackle knowing you have
a... Yeah, Jota shouldn't have done that. And the thing is, like, I will very, very generously... Because if I get too much into it, I'm going to be like that episode of Always Sunny in Philadelphia where Charlie Day is, like, there with the strings and he's smoking a cigarette, hasn't slept in days. Like, I'm going to... I'll get into that. But it should have very generously been a 2-2 draw. If you told me before the match... that Liverpool would go into Spurs and draw, I would live with that. I'd be like, you know what, a top six club on the road, you know, tough environment, it's fine, I can live with a draw. But man, when I saw Diaz's get caught, I saw him score, and I remember I got up and I started screaming because we're down a man, and we came back and we put one on, and it always felt like Liverpool were in control. Even down to nine, it felt like Liverpool had pretty solid control of the game.
That was something I noticed too, because like I actually missed the game winner that was scored, and I was like, why does it feel like Liverpool is still having largely their way despite being short 10 men? I was like, this ain't adding up. And of course, you know, Spurs have had a pretty solid start to the season under their new coach Angie, who looks way too much like the dad from the first 1 year. That's a whole different story.
Yeah,
but it was just something. I was like, Liverpool still having their way to where if they hold this draw, I would have seen it as a win for Liverpool easily.
And what a lot of people don't realize is like when you're down a man, that doesn't necessarily make the other team more likely to score because your defense doesn't change. It's just harder to score now. The change always comes into the attack. When you go down a man, you know, you take out, you pull from the attack. You do not pull from the defense. So we're down to nine. And again, like, I can almost live with both of those guys being out. Like, technically, I guess, the right calls or whatever. And with Jota, even if it's a soft yellow, or it should have just been called a foul, it was reckless. You did yourself no favors by you know, doing a slide tackle in that moment or whatever. But the officiating the entire game was so egregious because, and I am the last person to ever blame officials because I do think it's lazy and I do think that it's a cop out. You know, it's what a pissed off fan does when things don't go their way, but
sometimes,
yeah, man, it's like, and you saw Bissouma put his hand into, I want to say it was Luis Diaz's face, like straight up, like face, push him, nothing. You saw James Maddison with I counted, and I looked back and I watched bits of the replay, and I counted at least four or five clean yellows that Maddison committed, and he didn't get carded once. You know, and our guys were getting carded left and right, you know, and for the most part, keeping their composure. But it felt like the cards were coming out much quicker for us than they ever did for Spurs. And, you know, it just felt like, I don't want to strap on my tinfoil hat, man. But it genuinely felt like the officials, like, got the call, like, hey, Liverpool can't win this one, you know. And then, of course, like, the cherry on top, like, Joel Matip with the own goal at the end. And it just felt like it was so deflating. And it sucks because he's usually not someone to do that. He was just in the wrong spot, got the wrong part of the ball, and you know, it shit happens. And that's why I say, like, I will generously concede that, you know, because on Spurs' first goal, it was a masterclass. It was beautiful ball movement. Richarlison fucked that guy, but he put in a beautiful ball to Son to that, and he was just able to tap it in. And then obviously the own goal, which is, at the end of the day, it's on us, you know. So I can concede that Spurs had those two goals, but, you know, for Diaz's goal to be taken away like that, and then
what was the score when that goal happened?
1-1.
Yeah.
So we're down one. We score that goal. All the momentum's on our side, and then it gets called. And it's so frustrating because the call was so quick. Like, they never showed lines. Like, I thought they said, oh, possible offside. The check lasted 10 seconds. Like the ref never even went to the monitor. He just got the call. They never showed lines on the broadcast and stuff like that. And I'm like, I remember at first, like, I was mad, but I'm like, man, maybe I missed something. And then obviously Twitter doing its thing, you know, I'm starting to see the still frame and stuff like that. I'm starting to see and even the broadcast keeps throwing it up. I'm like, where was he off? And then for PGMOL to come out and say this was like a significant human error, like, what the fuck is the point of VAR then? Like, isn't the entire purpose of VAR to not have this type of shit happen?
It's especially bad in England.
Yes.
Like, I feel like most other leagues, you know, do a pretty decent job with it. But England's pretty bad. Like they're so bad, they make most of the VAR here in the States look great. So, and like, I firmly believe that I think they thrive off the chaos. That's why they're like, hey, we don't want to play it totally straight. We just want to, you know, shake things up from time to time, you know, just to, you know, get a little rally at everybody. Because yeah, like that one was clearly on, and it's unfortunate. And of course, you know, not to stir the pot a little bit more, I'm like, you know, if Liverpool manages to get to a top three position and they are within reach of the league title, and it comes down to what happened here, boy.
Yeah, man, and we've seen it plenty of times in the last 5 years or so where Liverpool will put up 97, 98 points and lose the league, you know? Yeah. So, especially with a club like Man City that, you know, people can say whatever they want about them. That is a finely tuned machine. They are a very good club. Haaland scores with the best of them. Julian Alvarez is out of this world too. Obviously, KDB, and you can go on and on and on. Like, Manchester City are the team to beat. And, you know, this is a league that you drop a bad one, and it probably costs you the season because City aren't going to drop a whole bunch. But I will say that if there was a week for Liverpool to lose in terms of the table and stuff like that, I think this was the one for it to be, because there was a lot of wacky results this week.
Yeah, you know, City lost. Of course, United lost. Whatever.
Yeah,
we've lost a lot this season.
Brighton lost too. You know, it's
I'll be getting up in that two up to now, but I mean, it could be worse. It could be Chelsea, but, you know, hey, whatever.
At least we're not Chelsea.
But you know, it's one of those things where I will say this before I wrap this up, because because we haven't been recording a lot, I haven't had a chance to say this. I think Spurs might be on the official Ewing theory alert, because they're doing a lot better without Kane. Now, Kane's doing his thing up over in Bayern.
Yeah.
But is one of those things where
the drop off isn't as bad as anyone thought it was going to be.
Yeah, because they are like Richarlison is playing in the position that favors him more.
Yeah,
and Ange, like, he's done his thing so far. I'm like, I think that unlike some of the other coaches that have come in the past few years, and like they get hot real quickly and then they fizzle off real fast. I think that especially with Kane being gone, with Lloris being gone, like I think there's a different level of pressure now to where I think that everybody's able to breathe and just do their thing. And it's something that I think that going forward into the season, it's going to be real interesting to see like how long they hold this up. But I don't even like what happens with, especially in this case where the refs clearly say that, hey, these game refs fucked up. But yeah, again, it's the interest all around this, man. Like it's really unfortunate.
Oh man, but yeah, the frustrating part is you know it's egregious and you know it's bad when PGM all the FA officials union just says, yeah, we fucked up, because they usually, you know, they're like cops, man. They'll go on the line to die for their own. And, you know, but the thing is, it's like, and I get they won't do it, but like they won't go back and say, okay, we need to award Liverpool that goal. And, you know, it changes the result. But I understand the precedent in that is very, it creates a bit of a slippery slope, but you know, it's just amazing that the biggest league in the world is so bad at VAR, whereas MLS, I think they haven't. You know,
they make MLS look good.
Yeah,
that's all I can say. Because I mean, obviously, we can go all day about pro and just the mess there. But yeah, for a league that has as much money put into it, it makes no sense for them to have such dog shit VAR, unless they just know it's like, yeah, we are banking on the fact that, hey, we're not going to get every call even still. And it's just wild to me. It's wild to me. But hopefully this doesn't ruin your season completely. But I did want to give a shout out to TK and Mayor Kane. Again, the last bit of content that we recorded was that, you know, we were out before and after the Inter Miami Atlanta game last month. We did a round of five questions around the supporter culture and everything, and that's actually pretty fun. Like, I'm hoping that we can do that some more. Of course, the season's starting to wind down here, but hopefully we can do at least once or twice going forward. Maybe even do a trip during the playoffs. Have to see like how everyone's adulting in the next month or two, because again, life be life sometimes. But I definitely want to give a shout out to Mayor Kane and TK for that. Also, in case you haven't seen us on the YouTube channel, like, of course, shout out to TK. We've been he has loaned us his studio space for us to record some episodes as of late. So if you haven't seen it on the podcast feed, it's definitely been on the YouTube feed, and we've been having a lot of good fun there. I think we're gonna be back in there later on this week, and we got a special interview. Our guy from Jackson State women's soccer, Kevin Larry, he'll be on the show, and I've heard he got some things to say, so I'm looking forward to that and all that. Shout out to everybody that's been getting at our 404 kit name sets. If y'all haven't seen those, definitely check out the Instagram and the TikTok and the Twix machine. We've posted on everything, and like we said a few weeks back, we know that we were bitching about the kits when they first came out, but that doesn't mean that we don't know how to drip these bitches out. And especially now that I've been able to you know, get a nice layout as far as how everything will look. Like, yeah, come at us. We got something for you. Because don't do that regular MLS nameset shit. Like, trust me, you want to capture the real essence of what that kit was supposed to do. Come at us. FTCUTG.com/shop. I'm trying to tell y'all, this baby is nice. This baby is nice. And yeah, we've already done like a good chunk, and I'm like, yeah, like it's probably been one of my more fun name set projects that I've done in quite a bit. Of course, we're still working with that. We're still working with with Black Diamonds out in New Mexico. I gotta press tonight. But yeah, if you got something that you want to do, you got something that's just sitting in your spirit, you need to put on your jersey, get at us at FTCG.com/shop. Like I said, it's good times, good times. But
yeah, with let's get up in here. with my everything going on with Inter Miami, I'm not giving them any more of my money, but I'm going all in on Washington Spirit, and I'm ordering a blank jersey just so I can take advantage of your sweet deal going on.
Actually, so like, of course, when we were up in DC for the All-Star game, we had, of course, like I gave the team some custom shirts, you know, DC themed shirts and everything. The guys got the ones with the DC flag design, and the girls got stuff with the cherry blossoms. Like, trust me, Mama Riss, wherever you are, that name set's still waiting on you. So trust me, Spirit, DC United, got it covered easily. But let's get up here in this two up and two down. And since TK can't seem to get his audio together to save his life, I'll go ahead and start with Cali to get us up in here. What you got, man?
All right, I'm going to start with down just because we've been touching on it so much today, and it's been weighing heavy on me since the club announced these huge ticket prices. It's so important that we can't do anything about club ticket prices, right? Like we can march, we can kneel on Twitter, we can scream into the void and all that stuff. And they, rich white dudes, gonna be rich white dudes, and they're gonna charge as much as they want for tickets. But I think it's so important to lean into clubs, you know, like Black Herons United, like Footy Mob, like Black Diamond, like Chicago Blackfire, Rose Room Collective, all them. It's so important to lean into those communities and you know, join in solidarity with people just, you know, fighting for us, you know, fighting for often the overlooked, the marginalized. And, you know, maybe we don't have fat bank accounts or anything like that, but we're still supporters and we're still loyal and to the players on the pitch, you know. So for two down, for, you know, that's it for me. And then for my up, you know, kind of in that same vein, man, like, get connected. It's so important to surround yourself with good supporters and people who, you know, people who share your vision and share your passion for the club and want to do things for the people that need the most representation. And then for my other up, you know, Liverpool look great. Still going to win the league. I don't care. Fuck the refs.
Oh, man. Okay. It's been a little bit, so I may overload on this, but I'm definitely start with the downs first. Over in Italy, the bastion of racial peace, our guy Victor Osimhen has been the victim of having the clock reset on him by his own damn team.
Yep. We're back to 0 days without an incident.
Yeah, and so apparently, of course, Napoli, defending Serie A champs, had a bit of a bumpy start to the season so far. They have a new coach and everything, and Osimhen, you know, like, he's done all right. It's just that, you know, again, like, the team's kind of down at the moment, but their social media team decided to, you know, put the law into their own hands and make a TikTok video. First one was one where, like, they're basically calling him a coconut, which I don't even know. Like, there's a lot of racial overtones with that. I'm just like, no. And then another, in the second one, they doubled down on it, basically they were making fun of him asking for a penalty kick, which he actually got, which I'm like, why would you make fun of something that he actually got awarded? But, you know, I have no idea. But it's led to statements and potential lawsuits, and I'm not sure like what will be the future of Slick Vic in Napoli, because I think he's in like the next to last season of his contract. And you never know, like he might be the next person that gets tried to get bought out by Chelsea, because that's what Chelsea does. But yeah, it's just absolutely wild that they would turn on my. So this is the guy who literally won you the league last year, and you're just shitting on him with this. Like it's nothing. Like it's like, hey, you're dirt. Like it's absolute trash. My second down. What was it? I know what it was. Actually, just more so of a personal one for me. Back in the day, back when I used to, before I was knee deep up in soccer, I used to like baseball quite a bit. I used to be a pretty decent Red Sox fan, and just got word today that their former pitcher Tim Wakefield died of brain cancer at the age of 7. I remember him going back to when he was with the Pirates and they were playing the Braves in the NLCS, and like that knuckleball was something dangerous. And like I from my early point, I just knew, I was like, yeah, that the knuckleball is just nothing to fuck with. If you can actually get that science down, it's absolutely crazy. But and then of course later on he made it to the Red Sox and won a couple World Series with them. And like I said, he was always just a low key dude, and just, you know, like he did his work and he did the job. Of course, he had been keeping it largely private until, of all people, Kurt Schilling, resident MAGA head, decided, like, hey, he's fighting cancer and all this stuff. And I'm like, maybe he just wanted to, you know, live his final days in peace, and then you got all this stuff coming up on him. And of course, I think that was like on Friday, and now he's gone, which is truly unfortunate. And one thing I've always said on the show, it's hard work getting old. And it's a shame that, you know, he's left us so early and everything. And, you know, condolences to his family, his friends, his actual friends, not Christian. My ups. I do actually have ups. Turning here to the home team real quick, because it's been a minute since we've actually talked about them. We actually are looking halfway up, because we, like, for once in their lives, they actually made some half decent moves in the summer. Like, we have new players. We have Shane Silva, and I'm not even going to try to say that last name. I'm going to call him Saba, because there's just no way. Who else would we get to, K? We actually got some help, and it's actually, you know, turn. Oh, my guy Muyumba. Muyumba, dude, he can stay here as long as he wants, because he's been absolute godsend in the midfield. Of course, we happen to beat the messiless Miami 5-2. So we've managed to do pretty well in the past month or so since they've all come in. And we actually managed, I think there's still one guy that's yet to play yet, because his visa took forever to finally get cleared. So, you know, like I like the moves that we've made. We actually added some depth. Our guy Yako, he's tied for the league in goals. And like I said, things right now are pretty dope right now. So we didn't play this weekend. We play on Wednesday against Philly, and then Saturday against Columbus. Our guy Game Day Ty's gonna come up in town, so hopefully we can link up with him next weekend. But things are looking cautiously good right now. So we'll see where things go. Last but not least, and I know TK is going to be really proud of me when I say this, but I think I am officially a full on Applehead now, because
welcome.
The the 15 just came out a couple weeks ago. Of course, it's now in the stores now. I went ahead and ordered a 15 Pro Max. It came in, I think it was Wednesday. I already had all my cases ready. I had my screen protectors ready. Got everything all nice and silky smooth. And then the on my MacBook, I got the new Sonoma update. Yo, that new wallpaper shit, that shit looks fucking, it's wet as fuck. But yeah, I think all I need now is an Apple Watch, and it'll just be, you can just put a whole Apple tattoo on the side of my head, like, I'll be fully branded. But yeah, it's I'm liking the 15. Of course, this is the one that finally has a new USB plug up in there. That's been coming for a good while. Thank you to Europe for that. And but yeah, it's so far so good. And it's good times. But I mean, yeah, I'm glad that we were able to get this episode out there to you. Of course, again, look out for us this coming week. We're gonna be up in the lab with TK and I heard on rumor we might even have Coach Tony up in there this week. So look out for us there. What else we got here? Like I said, it's been fun chopping up with you, Callie. Again, if you don't listen to us, make sure you're listening to them, because again, I'm pretty sure that even for all the ranting that Callie did with us on this show, it sounded like Dreaming of Freedom. Just like it's just nothing but ranting, and it's all valid. It's all valid, but Keep up with us on the conversation continues on the socials at FTC
UTD,
Facebook, Instagram, and on the Twix machine. We're also on Threads. Threads, I heard, is finally getting their shit together, so we might get some more conversation going on there as well. And of course, FTC UTD Pod on TikTok. We actually are posting videos, so make sure you catch us on there as well. But yeah, you know, hopefully by the time you hear us again, TK will have his audios together. I know everybody else will. Yeah, I really don't have much. Like I usually have something quippy to say, but right now I'm hungry, so I'm just wrap it up here. Coach is real. Coach is everywhere. Y'all stay safe, y'all. We'll see y'all soon, and we out.
FTC UTD Pod.